Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletop from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from the UK is Yad Mahana, who's Regional Compliance Officer for Ericsson. And then joining us from Germany is Dr. Jan Sprafke, who's Head of Compliance Europe and Latin America for Ericsson. The two of them will be speaking at the 2022 European Compliance and Ethics Institute, which will be taking place in Amsterdam from March 14th through 16th. First of all, Jan, Jad, thank you for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you, Adam, for having us.
Thank you, Adam. Yeah, looking forward.
My pleasure, and I am too. Now, you're going to be talking about an interesting topic. Yad, why don't we start with you? What are some of the challenges you've seen in implementing compliance programs and cultures outside of the West?
Okay, so I presume there are multiple challenges, and I think I would focus on one today because it's a short time. And again, this what I will talk about isn't necessarily our opinion, right? But this is what we hear. And, you know, the funny thing about perception is that if enough people believe in it, it becomes reality and people act upon this perception. And we hear a lot of things, right? When you go to implement a compliance program somewhere in the world that is not part of the Western world, that is kind of used to these laws, you hear a lot of the first thing you hear, and it's actually quite true, is that it's a foreign law that is enforced on the local community, on this country, and it doesn't really fit it, or it doesn't necessarily fit it, or fits its laws, its habits, etc. The second thing would be that we have different definitions and we have different perception of what you would call a corruption or a bribe. Offering a travel ticket to a customer would be normal, or even offering a membership in a country club might be considered normal in certain civilizations, certain societies. It's just a normal part of doing business. A third thing would be perceived as another Western way to mingle in local affairs. Like, we've seen so many laws, we've seen so many interventions trying to force things upon this country, and this is just another one of them. And confusing law with politics is the worst thing we could face, because it's super hard to extract the law from the politics. Another thing would be the perception of this being a weaponized law, meaning we're not really enforcing a law. We're utilizing this law to kind of penalize economical competitors. And if you look at the top 10 in the FCPA top 10, you'd notice that there's only probably one American company. Obviously, there is a good story behind everything, but this is the perception. And again, if enough people believe in that reality between brackets, then it will become the reality. And if you have enough critical mass in the room while you're trying to enforce your program, or at least put it in place, then you'll have three types of people. You have the one that who don't care, and then, you know what, whatever you tell me, I'll do, I don't care anyway. And then the second group, and usually this is the largest one, these are the people who are smiling, acknowledging, politely saying yes to everything, while in the back of their mind looking for the loophole and how they can continue doing business as usual, regardless of the new processes you're putting in place. And finally, there's a small minority who would be vocal, who would tell you their concerns, and these are the one you want to listen to. They're not the enemy in the room. They're actually the voice of the room. You have to listen to them and see what they have to say and utilize what they have to say, because they are giving you a pass to score your own arguments.
Well, you point out something interesting there. I mean, all those people smiling, it would be easy to believe that they're on your side when in fact they're not. It would be a mistake to actually, you know, accept that as proof of their support. Where have you seen companies make other mistakes in implementing their programs? Jan?
Yeah, you know, I mean, if you work for a multinational company, and usually, you know, the global headquarters sets the global framework with more like global rules, which needs to be defined further in the operative dimensions. And I think the first mistake you can do then is to fail to accept and cater to local differences and local law differences. Just as an example, you can talk about facilitation payments and the difference between the UK Bribery Act and FCPA requirements. So I think this is, you need to accept first that there are local differences that are not limited to local laws that might be different and have different requirements. And secondly, you know, I think it's always a mistake if you force people to accept compliance. You know, that's the worst possible approach. You need to explain purpose and create and deepen understanding. And depending on the culture and the society you're in, or the country, better to say, you know, there might be some countries where people really want to hear the purpose and background of a compliance rule and requirement. And while in other societies, you know, people will just obey, 90% of them will obey. So the ratio between those, you know, as Jad has described, that want really to understand the background and the ones they will obey and smile and obey, they don't care about the background, that this ratio may be different depending on where you are, in which country and in which culture. And this is something you need to understand, because then you need to put more emphasis on explaining and being very comprehensive about why you need to obey and follow a compliance rule internally. And then I would say, you know, you should always anchor compliance in a sustainable manner in processes and decision-making gates, but also not in the global processes, but in the local processes. Because let's say, where do we see risk exposure, compliance risk exposure? Usually it's on the sales side and the procurement side. And if you have in your multinational company local sales and local procurement processes, then you need to ensure that compliance is embedded in these local processes as well. And then I think overall, you know, you should always focus not only on process, more on purpose and on the culture you're acting in and you're exposed to. And last but not least, I think collaboration, right? So collaboration internally in your company, it's a mistake if you just create at headquarter level you know, a compliance program, a compliance management system that basically comes from a local law requirement. You know, I'm based in Germany, and then if my multinational company would apply German standards globally, I think this will not work. So you need to ensure that in your operative dimension, when designing a compliance program, that the regional dimension and the operative dimension, they work closely together, defining it and allowing for flexibility and discretion at local level.
And local level is always a challenge. You know, it's one area in particular is all the anti-bribery efforts. You know, they're very necessary. They're very difficult. In many countries, corruption is just a part of the way that business is done. And it can be really difficult for the local suppliers, much more so than it is for a big global company. How can we help make these anti-corruption efforts more successful?
So I think the first thing to start with is a root cause analysis. Like, where is this coming from? Is it just a different definition of corruption, or a different even perception of corruption? Are there social differences? Is it the fact that these people are so poor that their only livelihood is coming from these gifts or bribes or whatever? Is it a different social approach, or is it a different social culture? I talk about nepotism. I mean, nepotism is so frowned at in the Western world, right? But if I go to my culture, if I have the chance to get a job to a friend, to a close friend, to a family member, and I don't do it, I'm perceived as egoistic, and probably my own mom would disown me. So it is a different perception, and cultures have their way to force their way into companies much more than laws, right? Culture eats process for breakfast. And then once you do that, you have to find the equilibrium between understanding the business, the social, the macroeconomic realities, and trying to enforce your zero tolerance approach towards compliance. So this equilibrium between zero tolerance and understanding the local realities is key. Jan, what do you think?
Yeah, right, Ed, but just to add on that, I mean, a too firm approach will push people to circumvent the processes maybe, and, you know, to act outside the box, while being too lenient will help the local workforce to choose the easy way. So it's not easy to find a balanced approach here, but I think you need to reflect and do this exercise to find the right approach. That's for sure. And another good example, I think, based on my experience, is, you know, if you run risk assessments and frequent risk assessments and compliance audits, you know, I think it's super important that you involve end to end the local stakeholders and, of course, the headquarter maybe when running it. So because that exercise really helps to understand them, to understand what is my risk exposure. And my risk exposure in reality comes sometimes with a legal liability and accountability. And so at the end of the day, it can be kind of an eye opener for the operative colleagues. And we ensure that there's buy-in and it will foster accountability at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I would add to that you're talking about Vietnam. So in small communities, it's always good to remember that compliance is a team game. And you're talking about suppliers and multinationals. These suppliers, these multinationals, these local customers need to come together. And I'm referring mostly, of course, to the compliance office, but also to the business. If everybody would agree on certain rules for the game, then these rules would apply to everyone. And that will make it easier for everyone. It will make it easier for my sales team to understand that, you know what? This is what my customer wants, and my customer wants that from all their customers, not just us. So it's not us, the compliance office, who are forcing rules on you and making you play with rules that are much harder than others, than other competitors. It's basically the whole market. And in a small market, say one country, one small country, it's much easier to do.
And consistency always makes things a lot easier for people to understand and to live with. So finally, for the long term, how do we reconcile compliance programs from the developed Western world with the rest of the globe? Jan?
Well, I think, first of all, you need to try to put yourself into the shoes of others. And this is not limited if you're working in the compliance department, if you work for a multinational company. I think this is what you need to do, and you need to understand the macro environment. And of course, you should approach things with more humbleness and understanding, you know, that learning is always a two-way street. I think this is my key takeaway based on my experience. And as I said, not maybe limited to compliance, working in the compliance arena. Dad, would you add to that? What would you add to that?
Yeah, I would add that it's good. You know what Jan is saying, the cooperation between the locals and the multinationals is super important, and that should start from the actual drafting of an instruction or a rule. Local knowledge is super important, and, you know, failing to plan that is planning to fail the implementation. So the cooperation with local authorities, local NGOs, industry peers, local workforce is priceless from day one.
Well, thank you both for these insights in this challenging issue, and I want to thank you both for agreeing to speak at the 2022 SCCE European Compliance and Ethics Institute. Finally, I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.